Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup. And a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge afternoon across Scottish football. The Barry Ferguson Rangers managerial era comes back to Ibrox for the visit of Motherwell. Two massive games at the bottom as Ross County welcome Kilmarnock and Dundee host St Johnstone. And then it's over to Brendan Rodgers and Celtic later when they make the short trip to Paisley. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this afternoon you have Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Evans.
This time last week, Barry Ferguson was a Daily Record columnist. Neil McCann was on the sports scene, and Billy Dodds was on some smaller radio station elsewhere. And then Philippe Clement's Rangers had what he described as the worst performance of his time as manager, losing 2-0 to St Mirren. And his time as manager came to an end 24 hours afterwards. And now the three men who were in the media are now the three men who'll be in the dugout when Rangers play Motherwell at Ibrox this afternoon. But there might be a sense of belief among the Rangers supporters, but there's still a 13-point gap between Rangers and Celtic. And Celtic will go to Paisley, 5:30 kickoff, and they'll take a sense of grievance with them because they've now been told that the goal they thought was their equaliser against Hibs last weekend, but was disallowed, should have stood. It's a good laugh, Scottish football, isn't it?
Unbelievable week in Scottish football, and I'm sure lots of interest at Ibrox today, where Barry Ferguson's homecoming, if you like, takes place. You'd expect him to get a better tune again out of that Rangers squad than Philippe Clement did in his last few days. But you're right in mentioning, Gordon, all over the country, when you look up and down that table, especially at the bottom, some big fixtures ahead today.
Yeah, some good fixtures, as Hugh said. This time last week, Gordon Duncan was a father of one, now he's a father of two. Congratulations, first and foremost, from us three. But I'm looking forward to this afternoon, Gordon. A lot of good games. I think everyone got along to Ibrox this afternoon to support Barry Ferguson and his coaching staff and the team. Would have been delighted with the comeback down at Kilmarnock. Celtic, although they didn't play particularly that great with their standards, still comfortable against Aberdeen. A lot of good games, and you look down the bottom of that league, none bigger than Dundee v St Johnstone.
He is right though. This time last week, I was fighting my way through the Ibrox traffic to get to the hospital when I heard you two, or you, Hugh Evans, predicting Rangers would win comfortably. You said they might drop points.
Yep.
They lost. Philippe Clement went. Barry Ferguson came. The rest is history. It has been quite a week. Andrew McLean was in this spot, and he's now at Ibrox to bring us the latest Barry Ferguson team.
Yeah, Ibrox had been a bit of a safe haven for Rangers this season, hadn't it? Despite all the noise and the poor results away from home, winning here just didn't really seem to be too much of an issue. That was until last month, and that's what ultimately cost Philippe Clement his job. That Queen's Park defeat then compounded by the loss to St Mirren here a week ago. That the end of the road for Philippe Clement and the start of Barry Ferguson's interim era at Rangers. He would have been here anyway, working as an ambassador for the football club like he was last weekend. He might still be pinching himself that he's going to be in the dugout for this one instead. There was definitely a mixed response during the week to his appointment over the last few days. Question marks over his managerial experience, but he'll be hoping that those battling qualities to come from behind against Kilmarnock on Wednesday are a sign of things to come from him and his staff for the rest of the season. It was his first win, and that's exactly what Michael Vimmer achieved during the week as well. A 2-1 victory over Dundee. Signs of the changes he's making at Fir Park, but his biggest test lies ahead today. Just the one change for Rangers, not a surprising one. Clinton Nsiala drops out of the team, substituted after just 30 minutes when Rangers were 2-0 down at Rugby Park. Interestingly, he doesn't even make the bench today. That's because Leon Balogun is back fit, but he only makes the bench. Ridvan Yilmaz comes in. So Jack Butland in goal for Rangers today. The back four, Ridvan Yilmaz, captain James Tavernier, not only playing at centre-back today, but making his 500th Rangers appearance. He's alongside Robin Proper, and it's Jeffty at left-back. The two central midfielders, Mohamed Diamandi and Nicholas Raskin. It's then Václav Černý, Hamza Igaman and Yanis Hadji in behind Cyril Dessers. The substitutes, Kelly, Barron, Lawrence, Barami, Sterling, Balogun, Rice, Curtis and Danilo for the visitors. One change for them as well. Stephen O'Donnell drops out of the starting lineup. Kofi Balmer comes in. It means the captain's armband goes to Andy Halliday. It's Ellery Balcombe in goal. The back three, Kofi Balmer, Liam Gordon and Dan Casey. Tom Sparrow is the right wing back. Dom Thompson, the left wing back. It'll then be Andy Halliday and Kai Andrews in midfield. Slightly more advanced of them, Lennon Miller and Callum Slattery supporting Luke Armstrong, who is the lone striker. The substitutes, Ward, Dravkovsky, Payton, Katrumbis, Wilson, Ebi, Watt, Maswanisi and Plange. The referee at Ibrox today is Nick Walsh. The VAR is Gavin Duncan.
So let's keep it specifically to today. I'm going to look at like the wider Barry Ferguson story in a bit. But today, what are you expecting?
I'm expecting a carnival atmosphere at Rangers, because the one thing that is striking me about Barry Ferguson's appointment is that the fans are bonding with Barry, if I can put it that way. They did not have respect for Philippe Clement. They found his team to be boring. They found the results to be embarrassing. Queen's Park, St Mirren. And latterly, they were appalled by what the manager had to say in his post-match conferences. But Barry Ferguson comes in, the real Rangers man, which is what people always say on this programme when things are going bad for Rangers. The fans always call here and say they want real Rangers men. Well, they've got them now, and some people are still sceptical about Barry Ferguson. I believe the majority are behind him, but he's had one game, and Rangers had many bad moments in that one game. They came back off the floor, 2-0 down, should have been 3-0 down, but they got the points, and now I think there'll be an atmosphere of regeneration inside Ibrox at 3 o'clock today. And given what's been going on, I think he'll end his first chaotic week as Rangers manager. And I said it last Saturday, I know, but this time there will be a convincing Rangers win.
I'm going to elaborate with you on that more later. But Gordon, on that team today, look, the big decision that had to be made during the week was to take Clinton Nsiala off so early. It's never easy. He's a defender as well. He's young, all that sort of stuff. I don't know if you would consider this like doubling down, but he's not even in the squad today. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, because he came out after it and he tried to defend the young lad, which he rightly should, and said, look, we're going to work with him. Now, maybe he's saying we're going to work with him by taking him out of the firing line and then working behind the scenes in the training ground, putting some extra time in. Look, Mark and I had a disagreement on this on Thursday night, and there's 2 points to it. At that time, I totally agree, not a lot of manager. Clement wouldn't have made the substitution, right? Mark called it brave. I called it a very good substitution, because you're not taking an experienced guy off that pitch. You're taking a young guy who's played, what, 8-9 games. And Tavernier showed at Old Trafford. He went in there. I thought it was a great move. I thought it changed what happened to Rangers. I thought that typically managers that maybe wait to half time, that game would have been away. So I think you've got to give Barry and the coaching staff a pat on the back. But there's still a long way to go, because for 30 minutes or 25 minutes, They were all over the place.
I suppose at the very least, though, Mark, it shows that Barry Ferguson has no time really to, you know, find his feet in this and keep things as they were before and not want to rock the boat. Listen, it was a few weeks ago, and I know people sort of ridiculed it at the time, but one of Clinton and Ciala's teammates said he was the left-footed Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
He's then
yeah.
hooked early at Rugby Park, and now he's not even in the squad. So Barry Ferguson clearly just having to make big calls, make them quickly, and just get on with it.
Well, it was a perfect illustration of that, and it couldn't have worked out any better for Barry Ferguson. You know, 2-0 down, Rangers fans want to see someone in the dugout who is in charge, who can make active decisions right away. Now, I just made the point, is you don't often see that. You don't often see, you maybe ride it out to half time. So I think for an interim manager, it was a big decision, a brave decision. I think Barry Ferguson's is certainly the type, as a captain and a leader, who's made big decisions before, and he can speak his mind. So he took that on his shoulders. I don't think many others would have. And I agree with Daz. Of course it was the right decision, because he got Rangers going the right way. So right away the fans are thinking, this guy's made that change, he's right on it, that's what we need, and he's got the right result. Today, Nsiala, none in the squad. Am I surprised? Well, he's got Balogun and Sterling, so again, it's a nod to his bench. Does he need another defender on there? No. He's went for the guys who've been there and done it. So again, you get a wee glimpse of what he's looking at. If the game's not going his way, he can change in an attacking sense rather than having too many defenders on there.
And I mean, so is this case by case, or is James Tavernier at centre back to stay? Because this, you know, Yilmaz at right back happened previously, and it worked for, was it 2 games, 3 games? That, you know, then that got ripped up again. So can James Tavernier stay in there, or is this just temporary?
Obviously with injuries to Balogun and Suter, needs must. But I've got to. I think Mark touched on it the other night there about Tavernier gets a lot of criticism for his defending at right back. Now Mark's been a defender, he tells you it's probably easier to get into centre back because you've not got a pacey winger or a tricky winger against you one on one. But Tavernier's looked composed in there. I thought he brought something really different the other night. I thought he calmed everything down. He's good in the ball. He reads the game. Tavernier's a good player. He's making his 500th game today. So it shows you he's a very, very good player. Yes, I think just now, until you get your two recognised centre-halves back, because proper ain't the answer, and I'm not giving him, you know, the usual, oh, he's rubbish, because he ain't rubbish. Right, unfortunately for a guy, Scottish football doesn't suit him. He could go back to Holland or wherever and go somewhere else in the continent, fit in and be a real, real top player. Scottish football just doesn't suit the boy. That's unfortunately.
Tavernier at centre back against Motherwell at Ibrox is one thing. If Tavernier is centre back against Fenerbahce in Istanbul on Thursday night, then Tavernier at centre back is the new normal.
Would you say that against Manchester United?
I was going to say, you don't know that. I think
you've both been sucked in. I thought he was heading that way. He's not saying he wouldn't do it. Hugh's saying that's when you know that he's in there to stay.
Yeah. Sorry.
He's only in there until Suter and Balogun gets back. Let's not be kidding to you. If Balogun and Suter are fit, Tavernier ain't going to play right centre back.
Well, Balogun's on the bench today. I just wonder if the Rangers fans will see him in preparation for that game. Because no doubt about it, yeah, you'd rather go in with Tavernier at right back and Balogun and proper. Your real experience in there in such a game.
But we don't know Barry Ferguson. We don't know him. Therefore, it might be the case that he wants Tavernier to be there.
Yeah, because as we said, look, the Rangers made one signing in the January window. It was Rafael Fernandez. He's a defender. He doesn't make the squad either. So Barry Ferguson, as we said, he doesn't have time to really worry about the politics of that.
Yeah. I've got to say, right, see Tavernier, I would be quite comfortable at Rangers, right? A defender, he's got good knowledge of the game. All of a sudden, he gets in there, he reads the game well. It's a problem when he comes up 1-1, especially against somebody like Maeda, who can do that to MD. I think Tavernier can fit in there, no problem whatsoever.
The last time Motherwell went to Ibrox, Rangers were in a fairly good place, you'll remember. It was that time in the season where people wondered if Rangers could do something in the league. And Motherwell beat them 2-1. Gordon Dalziel, giving your hometown team any chance today?
Look, of course I'm, because you look at, you go back to the last two results at Ibrox. Now, Rangers fans will be screaming at the radios, well, we'll get Barry Ferguson now, the standards are different, whatever. It wasn't the case in 20 minutes. Rangers players have got to show big character today, because Queen's Park was a badging. They know what like it is to get booed. They get booed off the pitch against St Mirren as well. The manager lost his job. As much as Barry's there and he can take everything because he's a Rangers man, sometimes when they go over that white line, they've got to perform.
The story of last Saturday was that, and I cling to the old fashioned ways, if Celtic lose in the lunchtime kickoff, Rangers at home against St Mirren should be so enthusiastic, so encouraged by what's happened, even if it's reducing the gap to 10 points and people are saying, well, so what? But they should at least have that much about them. They went on to the park and delivered an appalling performance.
Is that maybe a lesson then, that I know we talk up this stuff, but you know, this sort of you know, an incentive to win, it actually doesn't really count for much if you're not very good at what you're doing. You know, it, well, doesn't actually influence football matches, because as you say, you know, if it was that simple, then yeah, Rangers would go and win last week.
I think the one thing that's giving the Rangers fans, not 100%, because there are still sceptics out there, but the one thing that's encouraging the Rangers supporters is that Barry Ferguson is bringing back the old fashioned ways, and you could see what, and Gordon's perfectly correct, they were all over the shop for the first 25 minutes at Kilmarnock. If Marley Watkins had scored to make it 3-0, which he should have done, I don't know where that game would have gone after that, but I suspect not in Rangers' favour. However, I think today you'll see a renewed sense of purpose, a sense of purpose that was never really there under Clement.
Michael Vimmer didn't get the chance to be the newest manager in the league for very long. No. Gordon Dalziel, as we've clearly discussed there. Interesting team that for Motherwell. Paul McGinn is a long-term injury. Stephen O'Donnell drops out, so there's not that real balance on the right side. Kofi Balmer's had to come in, and not to make it all about us, but our pal Andy Halliday, just quite interested in that, because Lennon Miller, there was a lot made of the fact he would take the armband when McGinn and O'Donnell weren't there. You remember him doing it at Hampden. Lennon Miller's playing, but doesn't have the captaincy, and Andy does, so clearly something the new manager
maybe just look at the situation. Young guy, he'd been out of, you know, injured. Andy is a good leader for me. And I'm not kidding on when I say this. He knows the game. He comes in here, I've seen him in other shows as well, talks very well, good experience, been about the block, good about the dressing room. I can totally understand that decision. I really can, without saying, oh, he's one of us in here. I think it's a tough ask for Motherwell, but there was good signs, especially in the first half against Dundee on Wednesday night.
Speaking of Dundee, let me check the calendar. 1st of March, can we pull out the relegation 6-pointer?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, let's do it. Gabriel is there at Dens.
Yes, Gordon, you certainly can. It's a battle at the bottom here, 11th v 12th, a clash of the Tay teams, and a huge game for both sides here. Let's start with the hosts, who've lost all of their last five league games. Yes, Dundee have gone from looking like a potential top six side to seriously flirting with relegation across the past month. And for the first time in the Tony Docherty era, the manager is under pressure with his young squad. He makes three changes from their midweek defeat. And McCracken, Astley and Tiffany will drop to the bench. In come goalkeeper Carson, captain Joe Shaughnessy and Garza. So it'll be Trevor Carson in goal, a defence of Joe Shaughnessy, Aaron Donnelly and Jordan McGee. Cesar Garza, Lyle Cameron, Mo Sylla and Zayed Larkesh across the middle, with Josh Mulligan and Olu Adewumi supporting Simon Murray up top. The substitutes, McCracken, Sharp, Ingram, Astley, Tiffany, Samuels, Riley, Robertson and Lopez. Well, St Johnstone come here flying high despite their lowly position. And that's because they believe, perhaps for the first time in a long time, they are still alive in the Premiership. Simo Vallecari really started to make an impression with the Perth side, and a win today would be absolutely massive. They've been bottom since before Christmas. They were 10 points adrift at one point, Gordon, but they've clawed that back over recent months. They've won five of their last seven matches, and for the first time since his arrival, they could climb off the foot of the table. Vallecari makes just one change, with Barry Douglas in for Svedberg, who is amongst the substitutes, so it's also going to be a three at the back formation. Andy Fisher in goal, Daniels Balodis, Zach Mitchell and Barry Douglas at the back.
Five across the middle, Sam Curtis, Dre Wright, Jason Holt, Sven Sprangler and Stephen Duke McKenna, Mackenzie Kirk and Adama Sidibe up top. The substitutes Sinclair, Svedberg, Clark, Carey, Stephen, Smith, McPaik, Watt and Franchak. The referee here is Stephen McLean and the VAR, Kevin Clancy.
Looking forward to it, and a similarly big one in Dingwall, which means Dave Galloway's had his wimpy ahead of Ross County against Kilmarnock.
Yes, thank you, Gordon. I had my big and mighty meal, which was very nice, washed down by a Diet Cola, of course, just to keep my figure looking svelte. Let's hope we get a feast of fine football here this afternoon. It's 9th versus 10th, with both sides looking to move on from midweek defeats and boost top 6 hopes, as opposed to getting dragged closer to a possible relegation scrap. That's just how fine the margins could be between winning and losing here. County manager Don Cowie's urging his side to put a disappointing performance against St Johnstone behind them. Killy boss Derek McInnes, meanwhile, believes if they can replicate much of what they produced in the first half, or even the first half hour of their visit by Rangers, they can get some vital victories on the board. Let's look at the teams then. And Ross County make 3 changes. In come Ashworth, Nisbet and White. Out go Kenne, Phillips and Hale. So it's Jordan Amisa in goals, a back three of Jonathan Tomkinson, Kasper Lopata and Eliah Campbell. Across the middle, Akil Wright, Zach Ashworth, Connor Randall and George Harmon, with Noah Chilvers sitting off Josh Nisbet and Jordan White in attack. Substitutes for the Staggies today: Laidlaw, Hale, Greaves, Harmon, Samuel, Smith, McLeod, Robston and Kenna. 3 changes also, I can tell you, for Kilmarnock. In come Watson, Anderson and Polworth. Out drop Armstrong, McGuinness and Wales. So it's Kieran O'Hara in goals today, a back four for Killy of Joe Wright, Lewis Mayo, Robbie Dees and Corey Ndaba. Midfield, David Watson, Brad Lyons, Liam Polworth and Fraser Murray. Up front, Marley Watkins and Bruce Anderson. The subs today: McCrory, Wilson Brown, McKenzie, Kennedy, Armstrong, McGuinness, Cameron, Ramsey and Wales. The match referee, an interesting one. It's David Dickinson, who was the man in the middle, of course, for Dundee United v Hibs on Wednesday night, when that Sam Dalby goal was wrongly ruled out following an all too long VAR review. And talking of VAR, the man in charge of that today here is John Beaton.
Looking forward to it. Big games everywhere you look. The real nerves though, those two fixtures down the bottom: Ross County, Killy, Dundee, St Johnstone. Huge. Of course, St Mirren Celtic to come later on. That is a 5:30 kick-off, so we'll build up to that one a bit later. In the meantime, you've got the team news. We'll park that. We'll look back on the week's biggest talking points when we return.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025 on the phones a bit later on, so get that penciled in and give us your reaction to the games. But right now, we are building up to them, none more so than Ibrox. We've given that a good preview with the team news and so on for Rangers against Motherwell. What about the wider picture, Hugh? I knew at some point, because this is how it works, that Barry Ferguson would get a series of results or a series of performances, and people would start asking the question, could this become a more permanent thing? I didn't quite expect it within 4 days.
No.
But I still detect it out there.
Yeah.
What does the big picture look like this week?
I don't think it's a reasonable assumption to make that one win at Kilmarnock means that you are the man for the future.
What about the possibility? Does it remain?
If Barry Ferguson is extremely popular with the Rangers supporters because of what he did at the club as a player. For example, James Tavernier will play his 500th game for Rangers today, but he's only won 3 trophies in that time. Barry Ferguson has a haul of trophies from his time at Rangers, but he has to show in bigger matches than Kilmarnock away, because Kilmarnock are down at near the bottom of the league for a reason, and we're breaking through Rangers at will in the first 20 minutes of the game on Wednesday night. But Barry Ferguson has to show more than an away win at Kilmarnock. So there are big tests of him to come. But he has goodwill in the bank and plenty of it. I sense the bonding with Barry Ferguson among the Rangers supporters. The sceptics will wait for those big games to take place before they make up their mind. But the one major imponderable in all of this, 49ers Enterprises, the owners of the San Francisco 49ers, who are in the throes of taking over Rangers but have not yet completed the deal. Do they want to make their own decision on who is manager? Will they respect the fact that Barry Ferguson is extremely popular with the Rangers supporters and allow him to continue? Those are the imponderables. Barry Ferguson at the moment enjoys all the goodwill of the Rangers fans, but he has still to prove himself in the role. I think that's only fair to say. He's had one game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think even by our standards, or Scottish football standards, asking you if you think it will happen is a sort of, it's a stretch too far. I suppose what I'm trying to get at, Mark, is it a possibility? Because I think last week, Matt, like I said, you were kicking off against St Mirren this time last week. I heard you lot on the show. You say, could Barry Ferguson be the permanent manager of Rangers? You would have, you know, blown yourself over laughing. Yeah. So I just, is it possible at all?
Of course it is. Yeah. Anything's possible here. And Hugh's right, goodwill gets you where you are just now. If you're Barry Ferguson, with people on side right away, after 15 minutes, people might have been swaying. However, after 90 minutes, people have doubled down on that idea. Now, the rest is unknown. If Barry Ferguson comes in and transforms this back half of the season for Rangers, and the football gets better on the eye, matched with results in big games like Hugh said there, then of course it's a possibility. Because you'd be silly to give that up. You know, because as owners, the new owners who may come in, they have got to have an ear to the fan base as well, to understand how they're feeling about things. And that's maybe been what's lacking at Rangers. It's been detached between the fans and the leadership. So if things have all went one direction and it's looking much better, then of course it's a possibility. But I don't think Barry Ferguson or his coaching team will be getting ahead of themselves. They understand it will probably go game to game and there will be ups and downs, but who knows what can happen. If the football's better, results are better, then he's in with a shout.
Goodwill in the bank won't sustain you. It has to be accompanied by results. And that applies to Barry Ferguson, to Brendan Rodgers, to anybody. But it's a good start to have, because Clement latterly had totally lost the Rangers following, and the atmosphere at games, people walking out, the crowd by the end of the game against St Mirren last weekend. Ross McCormack was in this studio and he said to me he played in front of bigger crowds than that when playing for Rangers under 19s. So Clement had totally lost the following, but Barry Ferguson, out of respect for what he did as a player, has regained the following. He now has to hold on to them, and only results do that.
Does it need to be more than results, Gordon, whatever that is? Because Michael Beale had a 72% win rate as Rangers manager. Philippe Clement's dipped a bit in the last couple of weeks, but you know, he's still well into the 60s. The Rangers are going to win most of their football matches between now and the end of the season, because they're Rangers and they exist in a part of the footballing world where they are much bigger than most of the teams that they'll play against, so they will get results. Does it take more than that?
Yeah, I think he's got to show that tactically he's switched on to it. Look, everybody turns around now. He's brought, the one thing you can say about him successfully, the way he performed on Wednesday night with the support, he's brought everything together. Because if they'd have kept Clement in place, there'd be about 30,000 inside Ibrox this afternoon. But you can't second guess Rangers, right? Patrick Stewart last week was talking about we can't upset the Europa League with Clement, and that's why we're not sacking him. A week later, you got Barry Ferguson and Robbie Park with four other ex-Rangers players, whatever it may be. So you can't second guess this club, right? But my big question's simple. When you get to the end of the season, and it was a Rangers fan that actually asked me, and I thought, do you know what? I never thought about that. They said, Barry Ferguson's a hero at Rangers, brilliant, everything about him. He's bringing it together. I wish him all the very, very best for what's happening just now. But can you see Rangers winning the league under Barry Ferguson next year? And that was a question I was asked from him. And you look at it and you think, that would be a massive, massive ask.
Again, to go back to the imponderables though, the 49ers Enterprises, if they take over the club, there will be, because there has to be, a massive investment on the playing side. Players will go and others will come in. And it's not possible to say that Barry Ferguson couldn't win a league, because you don't know who's going to be playing for Barry Ferguson if he remains as the manager.
Yeah, but if you're walking as an investment, Hugh, an American company, and you're going to put a lot of money into it, right, you know the way now stats are done to get managers, you know, substitution, style of play, that's a new thing going forward. Would you look at Barry Ferguson, who's worked at Clyde, Kelty, Alloa, caretaker of Blackpool, and think, I'm going to throw millions and millions at this club and you're the guy that's going to take that over?
Andrew McLean, you are there today. I can't remember if it's you or your colleague who I can bring in, if that is the case, has been out and about at Barry Ferguson's press conferences. I just wonder what the sort of vibes have been like and what sort of things have been discussed and what people have been making of his messaging.
Yeah, I think he's been very assured in the way he's been speaking throughout the week. I know it's a bit of a cliche when a manager comes in and they'll talk for the first time and people will say, you know, I thought they spoke quite well. But I think generally people were wondering what Barry Ferguson would be like, how he would address the media. I think he's been very measured, as I say, very assured. He said all the right things, the things that the Rangers supporters want to hear. Of course, those things need to be backed up on the pitch, which it was done for about an hour of the game on Wednesday night. But I think generally fans have been quite impressed with what Barry Ferguson said so far, the way he's handled himself so far. You even see at the end of the game on Wednesday night, when he was over, he was taking the acclaim of the supporters at the end of the game, and just the way that he's dealt, you know, in the public eye so far. It is still very, very early on. He's only less than a week into his Rangers reign, so if there becomes a time where he is feeling the pressure, that's the point where maybe you do, you know, ask questions and see how he handles that occasion, because it's maybe been a bit more straightforward this week than other weeks that other Rangers managers have had. But yeah, there'll certainly be a lot of intrigue to see exactly what he is like in the media and how he handles it in the dugout going forward as well, because standing in that dugout as Rangers manager today, I think will probably feel like quite a foreign concept for him, because as I mentioned earlier on, he was here last week, he's been here pretty much every other week as an ambassador for Rangers, working in suites, doing all different types of things like that. So the fact that he's going to be standing there, he'll probably be pinching himself today. There probably will be nerves for Barry Ferguson, but a player that played so many games for Rangers, won so many trophies for Rangers, wore the captain's armband, he's the type of character you'd think should be able to handle that going forward.
The big question really is who's replaced Barry Ferguson in the hospitality lounges this afternoon. That's what we really need. If we're proper journalists amongst us, we need to get to the bottom of that, surely.
Who's hanging about? But it's quite the thing to go from working the lounges, which is trading on your past reputation and keeping folk happy. It's quite the thing to go from that to the manager's job in 1 week.
But he's keeping the supporters happy, Hugh. I've got to say something, right? I thought he's handled himself really, really well in the media. Right, I think he's bridged that gap, because there was a massive gap between supporters and the board, especially last week. They were leaving. What, the 49ers? They were the 49ers. That's how many was left in the stadium. But he's bridged that gap now. He's brought the Rangers supporters back. So he's handling that situation well. Look, we all wish him. He was a terrific footballer, but it counts for nothing. You're right. He's got to go out there. He's got to show that he's got what it takes by the tactical situations. Yes, we talked on the decision he made on Wednesday night. I keep going back to it. I don't think it was a big, but I think it was a very good decision. A one that had to be done, and he was there and he made that decision with the backroom staff. He's got a lot of big games coming up this month, football, there's no doubt.
Football fans are historically tremendously fickle. Goodwill becomes ill will based on results, and Barry Ferguson will be no different from any other manager. At the moment, he is basking in the glory of Barry Ferguson, the Rangers icon. He has to win matches. He has to win in Europe. And he has to keep the folks happy. Because, as I say, goodwill very easily in football becomes ill will.
Suppose, Mark, we are all brought up on the notion that it is all about results, which you can't really disagree with, but it shows you now, because there's a sort of 24-hour relationship between fans and football clubs. It's not just about what you see 3 to 5 on a Saturday afternoon. It's about what you read and what you watch and social media, and there's clips of training and there's press conferences, yeah. There's interviews. So all of that is far less important than results. However, it helps. Rangers fans were sick of hearing from Philippe Clement. They didn't want to hear from him. So at a very baseline level, they're just enjoying what they've seen so far.
Yeah, well, everything's on trial for Barry Ferguson and his coaching team at the minute. And you're right, there's so much that goes into a football club, especially when things are going badly. Everything is picked up upon. So that is right to highlight how Barry Ferguson has handled the media side. You know, a lot of tough questions to answer. Maybe sometimes he has to answer questions about justifying himself and people bringing up his past record. So he's had to deal with that side of it, as well as give a positive message to the Rangers fan, as well as sort out tactically what they're going to do in the game, as well as changing things in game, and then building up to his first home game. So a lot on his plate, you know, spinning a lot on him at the minute. But again, he's handled it well. But that's the next big test and results will get you so far. But the Rangers fans want to enjoy going to see Rangers play. Now after 20 minutes to 90 minutes on Wednesday, the Rangers fans enjoyed that stylistically because they created loads of chances, scored goals. They want to see similar again
today.
I
think when you think back to the end of the game at Kilmarnock on Wednesday night, and Barry Ferguson went to the Rangers fans behind the goal and they were all chanting a Barry Ferguson song from the 1990s, and he has brought a kind of revivalist spirit to the whole place. What's sometimes thrown in his face is Clyde, Alloa, Kelty, not very good there, but he was dealing with inferior players at Clyde, Kelty and Alloa. The Rangers players are better than they showed under Philippe Clement, certainly this season. And that's why Clement's no longer the manager. But Barry Ferguson has better players at his disposal now. He has to build on the 4-2 win on Wednesday, starting now.
Okay, suppose one of those weeks where the big story of the week bleeds into the Saturday afternoon. It's all linked because Rangers take on Motherwell, but we'll go back around the grounds and put more of a focus on the actual games themselves coming up when we return.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're building up to kick off in the 3 o'clock games. Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans are here, and the top team are around the grounds. Let's go back to Ibrox, but put more of a Motherwell slant on things, because we've had a good old discussion about Barry Ferguson and all the stories that have developed this week at Ibrox. Andrew McLean, it's also relatively new in the Michael Vimmer era at Motherwell, got a really important win on Wednesday, didn't they?
Yeah, a massive win. It is crucial for any new manager to get their first victory on the board, and for Michael Vimmer to get that, he will feel that, you know, it's hopefully a step in the right direction for them. I think one thing that supporters have seen from Motherwell so far is there's a higher intensity to the way they play. They want to get the ball forward quicker. Maybe the one question mark is whether this group of players and the way they've previously trained and previously worked, how long are they going to be able to last and do that in games, because it may well tire them out. It may be something that needs to be a gradual process over his time as Motherwell manager. But you do wonder how he'll approach a game like this, which will be very different, of course, to a game like playing against Dundee during the week. A big win on that occasion, but do they still go in with the exact same commitment and drive to try and get forward and to try and, you know, really press Rangers in the way they did against Dundee? Or will he alter his tactics? Will he come here and try to sit in and maybe look to hit Rangers on the counter? Always intriguing to see what new managers will do when they approach games against the likes of Celtic and Rangers at home and away from home. But it is a big day for him today. Of course, he's not going to be judged on his results when it comes to playing away at Ibrox, but if his team can go out there and show all the right signs, then the Motherwell fans, the travelling Motherwell fans that have made their way into Ibrox and are still making their way into Ibrox, might just think that Michael Vimmer is showing the right signs that he is the man that can continue to help them climb the table.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a busy week, I have to admit. I don't know if I was across absolutely everything. Did Michael Vimmer say anything about Lennon Miller's captaincy and Andy Halliday doing it? Is that just a kind of on-the-day decision?
Yeah, I think it was maybe more of an on-the-day decision. I suppose it's a new manager, a fresh set of eyes. Stuart Kettlewell, you know, obviously a big fan of Lennon Miller. I'm sure any manager that goes into Motherwell will be a huge fan of Lennon Miller because he's such a fantastic footballer. We know what he's like as a personality as well, handles himself very well. But maybe Michael Vimmer is just a different type of manager that feels he maybe wants a more experienced player wearing the armband.
It's always such an interesting one, Gordon, when any manager goes in and wants to do things differently, because why wouldn't they? You know, they're more than entitled to, but the old challenge is, as we know, you've got the same players, you can't sign anyone if it is drastically different or even a slight difference from what you were used to before. It's not always easy to get it over quickly. You can see what he's trying to do, and time will tell whether this current group of Motherwell players can do it to any sort of successful level this season.
Yeah, small changes. It takes time, as you say, Gordon. You just can't get in there and rip everything up. You've just got to change it. He's only in the door. It'll be an interesting afternoon to see tactically how he goes up against Rangers. He said in his press conference he's not just there to visit. He's obviously meaning business. I think his decision to take the captaincy from young Miller is the correct one. I think what he's done is basically went in and said, listen, you've such a talent, we rely on you so much, let's take a little bit of responsibility off you, let you just go and do what you have to do. We've got a guy in the middle of the park, full experience, a great pro, let him just go on about, you know, round about the team, encouraging, go and you do your stuff. And I think that is a real good move, I really do.
And Hugh, there are times when we always hear that sort of phrase, cliche about, well, your season's not defined against Celtic or Rangers, it's a free hit, you're not expected to get things at Ibrox. But the reality for Motherwell, they're levelling points with St Mirren, yep, as a result of St Mirren getting three of those points at Ibrox. So you can't just go and write these games off. You need to go and try and take something.
Yeah, we speak about managers making their mark at a club when they come in. Well, he's made his mark midweek with a good win. He's made his mark today by taking a decision on who should be captain. And he could not make a bigger mark, unless it was beating Celtic at Celtic Park, than beating Rangers at Ibrox. So it's a big day, and it's not a free hit. It's an everyday Premiership match, and he's there to win as many of those as he can.
I want to look at real pressure, though, if we're talking about teams that are close to each other. I mean, Gabriel, Dundee and St Johnston are now separated by just 3 points. There are 10 games to go, 5 until the split. And no one would have foreseen this on the day that Simo Vallecari took the job, would they?
No, Gordon. That's what we were saying earlier. It looked like St Johnston were gone. We know how tight the middle pack is. Pretty much everything from 3rd to 10th could move, could change, you could finish in the European places, you could be trying to avoid that relegation playoff. But we did think that St Johnstone were possibly gone in early January. But what a turnaround it's been. They've won 5 of their last 7. 4 of those are in the league. They're in the Scottish Cup quarter-final as well. And as I said, they could be off the foot of the table with a win today. And you can't say it's not been deserved. Vallecari has clearly made his impression on this team. They are trying to play it out a bit more from the back. They've brought some players in January, and you're starting to see what he wants on the pitch. And for Dundee, it's just the opposite. Of course, they finished in the top half last season upon their return to the Premiership. And again, they were looking pretty in the first half of the season. I was here for the games against the Old Firm sides at the start of 2025, where they got a point off both of them, and they looked like a good footballing team in both of those games. And when you compare them to some of the other sides in the league, you would say that they're one of the stronger footballing teams, and that they could push on and perhaps even get European football. But it is a young side, Gordon. Doherty's team are young. They've got talented players, but perhaps not as much experience, as much fight as other sides around them, which is what can help you when the chips are down and you're on a bad run. They've lost 5 in a row, and if they were to lose again today, they could be 12th by 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and another big game down there as well in Dingwall. We mentioned that Ross County in 9th, Kilmarnock in 10th, separated by just 1 point, so it's ever so close there. And now Ross County, Dave Galloway, although they had that disappointing result against the aforementioned St Johnston, they can now win away as well as at home. Is that where the teams round about them will start to perhaps worry at what they're capable of?
Yeah, and Ross County have been unpredictable. So have Kilmarnock, though. But County, for all that they've had some decent results away from home, they've not actually won back-to-back Premiership matches here at the Global Energy Stadium, their home, this season. They would really love so much to put that right this afternoon. Like I'd say, both teams really looking for consistency. They've each won two and lost two of their last four matches. Kilmarnock, they come up here with a bit of hope of putting things right after their kind of collapse against Rangers, but they haven't found this a great hunting ground at all. They've failed to win any of their previous eight visits here. Could that be about to change? A lot of questions will be answered in the coming couple of hours. These teams have plenty to prove, though, Gordon, as they try to get into a more comfortable league position.
Yeah, I don't think Kilmarnock have won away from home since October, end of October, is that right? So,
well, we talk about the pressure on Dundee today. If Dundee win at home against St Johnstone, pull themselves together, break that losing run, and Ross County beat Kilmarnock, then there's only one point between Dundee and Kilmarnock, and it's Kilmarnock who then look troubled.
Just before kick-off, let's hear from the two managers at Ibrox, Barry Ferguson, of course, in the home dugout.
Well, when you play at Ibrox, you have to dominate. You have to dominate the ball. You have to take the game to the opposition. I don't think that was the case in the last two games. So my message to the players is pretty clear what way we're going to go towards Mullow.
And the man who's going to try and spoil the party is Michael Vimmer.
Yes, it's a big challenge, but I like it to compete with the best teams. It makes us better, and I like this challenge. And it's not easy, but it's more easy to drive to Ibrox with a win after Wednesday.
And there we are. The scene is pretty much set. Big stories, huge matches everywhere you look. Who would have thought a week ago Barry Ferguson would take charge of Rangers for this game at home to Motherwell? There's nothing between Ross County and Kilmarnock or Dundee and St Johnstone, so those will be fraught. And as if that's not enough, later on we have St Mirren against Celtic as well. So much to look forward to, and it all kicks off next.
Action as it happens. Your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A big Saturday of Scottish football action to come, starting pretty much now. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dl are here. The scene is set at Ibrox. We've got Rangers against Motherwell, Dundee St Johnstone and Ross County Kilmarnock. It is of course Armed Forces Day as well, so a lot of pre-match ceremony at Ibrox in particular. But I think we've actually got some at Dens Park as well. James Tavernier's children are on the pitch with Daddy 500 or Dad 500 in the back of their strips as well to mark that. So there's a lot to get through before the football kicks off, Hugh Keevans.
Well, James Tavernier is part of the day of celebration at Ibrox. As I say, 500 games but only three trophies, and a man who divides the Rangers support and always has done about his suitability for the captain's role, about his suitability for a place in the team sometimes. But he has been, for me, pound for pound, a very good signing. The 500 games, a special occasion for him. But he, like Barry Ferguson, now has to make Ibrox an entirely different place from the ground it was just 1 week ago.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get advice on keeping infections and viruses away when school returns.
Right, come on then. What are we looking at this afternoon? Last Saturday, I was on my way to the Labour wards, and I heard the famous words of Hugh Keevans: Rangers comfortably. And I thought, you know what, this just proves that no matter what's going on in my life, I'll always have a bad Hugh Keevans prediction to bring me right back to this studio.
And here comes some more.
He predicted you were having a girl.
When he knew it was a boy.
What are you going for today?
Rangers comfortably.
Comfortably.
Dundee to beat St Johnstone and end the horrific run.
Big shout.
Ross County Kilmarnock a draw, and Celtic to beat St Mirren.
I've gone for Rangers. I've also gone for Dundee. The run has got to stop somewhere. I think it'll be today. I think Kilmarnock will get a result in Dingwall. Whoa. And Celtic to beat St Mirren.
Some big shoots.
Well, I'm mixing up again. I'm going, I fancy Rangers. I don't think it'll be comfortable, but I fancy them to win. I'm going St Johnson. I think they're in a great run. Dundee, what, six, out of the last six games have lost 19 goals. St Johnson will punish them this afternoon. I'm going Ross County. If it's the same one, I always think it turns up at Dingwall, and I'll go Celtic.
There we go. We'll see what happens in the next couple of hours. I'll give you a bit of credit. As I said, I tuned into you all last week. I heard you say Rangers would draw. You did say they would drop points. So
don't give me credit, right? Because I bottled it.
Or did you change your mind?
No. I was going to go for
St. Midweek.
I was going to go for St. Mirren win, and I sat in the fence because I didn't want people shouting at me.
I bottled it.
Yes.
Wimp.
Yes.
Hands up. For wimp. But there we go. Anyway.
A good call from you. Yep. Good call.
Yeah, I just thought Rangers were in a bad place after the Queen's Park at Ibrox. It's always difficult to go, and especially when the supporters are sitting there waiting for you if you don't perform. And obviously they didn't, and all credit to St Mirren.
That's only just underway at Ibrox. Obviously they abseil down and deliver the match ball and all that sort of stuff, so it takes a bit of time. And that's the game just underway. So we'll see what happens in the next 90 minutes plus here and elsewhere, and then we'll turn our attentions during that to St Mirren, so you can give us your thoughts there. 16 seconds on the clock, a Motherwell corner. So it's been a
end-to-end
stuff in the first 16 seconds. We've got big games all across the country. How was last night, Maryhill, Mourinho?
Oh, it was great. It was great fun. Telly. It's looking good there. Yeah. Looking good.
I tell you what, you can hog it, can you?
I was loving it.
Anywhere a cameraman, you must have been here there 20, following me about in the dugout. Because every time I went on to you, you're always doing the arm thing and shouting.
I was just doing it all year. I was just pointing. My friend said that.
Do you know what? I honestly thought, from a very selfish perspective, because I know there are other things more important in the world than Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but is there any part of you that knew last night that anything you did was going to get mentioned?
100%. 100%. And not even on the show. The moment this guy stepped into the studio, I thought everything's getting picked apart. And he just came in. How bad was this? How bad was that?
I've got to be honest, right? I'll give him all the credit in the world. I think Partick deserved to win last night, right?
Is that seen as a good point because Livy are so good at the moment, or ultimately need to try and get there as
part of it? Yeah, I suppose when you look at the league table, I mean, what are Livy, 10 points or something like that, or even further ahead is, so maybe, but you know, a couple like Thistle,
go to win your home games.
Don't start on the fence, let me
tell you right now what I'm waiting for is quite simple. You play Queen's Park next, and if you lose, I'm shouting 2 from 9 ain't good enough. Right.
That was one of his first words to me when he came in. Nothing like the support of your colleagues, Gordon.
Big game for you today is Raith Rovers Queen's Park at Kirkcaldy, because they're close, too close to you for comfort, and they've got games in hand.
I thought they played well. I thought you could see the Wilson and Graham style of play being imprinted on the
team.
On
Thursday we were in early. I don't know why the twos end up in very early. I think it's because he's obviously coming straight from there. I'm getting a kitchen done, which is good.
See, when I came in Thursday, we were in early. He was on the couch, lying in, having a snooze. I said, why are you having a sleep? I'm getting a kitchen done. I'm knackered.
You're not doing the kitchen.
No, but I was carrying all the stuff. They two lazy guys that I've employed, they're getting bumped.
They've got the radio on. Honestly,
they're getting sacked. But he gave me all the tactics, what they've been working on. So I sat down, tuned in last night. I thought they were brilliant. I really did. I thought they were brilliant. They're up against a very physical Livingston team. And I listened to David Martindale after a game saying, well, keep the AstroTurf because you can't play football and that. But my argument was, you need to try and play football, David, first and foremost, before you get a pitch. But I thought they were great. They tired a little bit at the end.
There's a big butt coming here, because that's the only compliment he's ever given me.
It's the fine margins, the cross 1-0 Thistle, cross from Logan Chalmers, Brian Graham, and you think, there you go. And he hits the post with it.
Yeah.
And if that goes in, Thistle win.
Couple of updates from Ibrox after that early Motherwell corner. There was then a free kick to Rangers wide on the left, a late challenge from Kofi Balmer on Yanis Hadji, then went for a corner, but James Tavernier put it over everyone's head and out for a goal kick. Would you know what annoyed me the most about him last night? The stopwatch.
Oh, I've seen it.
Outrageous.
Oh, I was like,
like a PE teacher from 1997.
I was going to wear that around my neck.
Oh, you got it.
An actual stopwatch though.
I always have that.
Why?
Just in my pocket.
But you've got a watch, an Apple Watch.
By the way, no. Because my Apple Watch had ran out of battery before the warm up. Because it was a long day. I was out and about everywhere.
I noticed that as well. What's annoyed me is now, listen, he's been in, what, a week? A week? Just over a week? Right. And he's in here on a Thursday, you should hear him. I'm thinking, oh, what is going on here? And then this afternoon, he'll come out with all the cliches, guaranteed. He's a know-all now. He's an interim. Yep. What are you, an interim assistant manager?
I don't know.
Right, he's just a know-all, right?
But that could be it. I don't know what's happening. That could be my stint over, but Queen's I enjoyed
Park,
it.
Queen's Park, tuck them away. He'll become the 18
coach.
Hold on
a minute, though. You're all saying Barry Ferguson could come from nowhere to be the Rangers manager.
Yeah, Graham and Wilson.
I think the fans will start a petition, not
I disagree with that. Anyway, we've got some goals in your division you might be interested in. Air 1, Airdrie 0, George Oakley with the goal there. And a league further down, Alloa 0, Cove Rangers 1. Cherney causing a bit of trouble, cuts in, as he often does from that right-hand side, shoots, it's blocked and goes out for a corner. Brad Lyons tries an overhead kick for Kilmarnock, and Dingwall took his goal well during the week, didn't he? I know it became all about how bad Rangers were.
Oh, good finish.
What a strike.
Oh, he took it nice. He really did. Right, Hugh Keevans, before we get any early drama, let's do this.
Yeah.
The first half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Topicality. In their last six meetings with Motherwell, seven different players have scored for Rangers. Who are they? In their last six meetings with Motherwell, seven different players have scored for Rangers. Can you name them?
You know the drill by now, but if you don't, it's at Clyde SSB. We're looking for one tweet with all the correct answers on it, and you have to do it quicker than everybody else. It is a race. By all means, just throw some names in. You don't have to get all seven to participate. You need to get all seven to win. But if you want to just throw some names in, then we'll see how we get on during the first half. No goals yet, so we'll see what happens there. We've already spoken about Mark Wilson's stopwatch in the game last night between Partick Thistle yep. and Livy. We'll keep an eye on all the big stories down the divisions as well. I told you Ayr are one up. What a signing George Oakley's been.
Yeah, prolific goal scorer. But Ayr have dropped out of it. It's really only the business of Falkirk and Livingston now, I think, the outcome of the title. Would you agree, Mark?
Ayr's got two games in hand. Well, today obviously there'll be one on Livy. So I think Ayr will hang in. They will hang in. They've got the players to it. But yeah, Falkirk and Livy might be the favourites.
It's
at this
every time now in the Championship here. You know, they three teams have got to show a bit of character. They sort of fell out a little bit. I fancied them big time. The last few games I'd watched them against Hibs in the Cup, although they lost, I thought they really looked good in the sense of good players, good experience as well. Got the goal scorer in Oakley. I thought they're going to push on. And they've just drifted off a little bit.
It was like last week was a big one. They're 1-1 and Livy scored in the 94th minute. A Muirhead free kick for about 25 yards to win the game. So those games are crucial when it comes into the title.
I was trying to explain to Hugh what his goal celebration was last week, but I couldn't describe it.
How's he get away with that?
And I wondered if maybe you two could describe it to him. Have you not seen it? Gordon Deal, I thought it would be something that you would have been all for, quite frankly.
I hear
bearing in mind.
I scored 200 of them.
Imagine when you score three in the same day. Difficult.
Your names would be Gabs. Gabs has scored a hat-trick.
I think we've already taken this too far for a Saturday afternoon, so we'll just leave it there and get back to it. But yeah, I do regret bringing that up. I should have known where we were going. Right, what we got? Nothing yet. Motherwell trying to just get forward and put a bit of pressure on, but not easy. They did force another corner as well as Rangers tried to just clear the lines. Robin Proper. Motherwell actually have the ball in the net, but the flag was already up
from the corner.
So I guess that would be one of those where, if I've read that right, you know, wouldn't I don't think VAR could change that or anything unless...
By the way, their set pieces were good the other night. I liked the one that Casey scores first from. You know, it's just a wee block. We ended up talking, you know, prolonged about blocking because he came on and on the line and that. But Casey or Motherwell worked it well. Just some of the traits of a new manager.
Well, VAR is checking because I don't think the whistle had gone.
No.
So we'll take a wee
could
look.
Could be a big moment.
And see what happens. But as it stands, it's Motherwell who are hoping, keeping their fingers crossed to see if they've taken the lead or not.
There's nothing that dims the air of celebration more than a goal for the visitors. So Barry Ferguson will be hoping all is well.
Yeah, it was prolific Dan Casey's shot, spilled by Jack Butland really poorly, and Armstrong slid the ball home. I'll tell you what, Jack Butland will really be hoping that it is offside because it's a bad mistake. I don't think the flag was for Armstrong. I think it's for someone else initially, before that, because I don't think there's any suggestion that Luke Armstrong was offside. But it was something in the build-up, and Jack Butland really needs it because it was a poor goalkeeping error and good anticipation from Armstrong. And actually, it was really slack from Rangers. I'll tell you what,
it's a goal.
We've got a goal at Ibrox.
Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Rangers nil, Motherwell one, and Luke Armstrong slides Motherwell in front after a VAR check. It was a really poor mistake from Jack Butland. This is a simple shot, low intensity, right along the ground. He spills it, and Luke Armstrong has slid Motherwell into an early lead. Gordon Dale.
Yeah, brilliant start for the Motherwell manager. He's went in there, he was very confident. He said it early, look, there's still a long time to go. But I said to you about Queen's Park, St Mirren, it's okay going away from home to Kilmarnock, getting a result. There's 49 plus thousand people in there demanding a performance this afternoon. And I've got to say, I've seen it on my phone there, Butland.
Excuse me?
Yes.
You've seen in your phone, somebody texts you.
Yeah, somebody's Ibrox or WhatsApp. And I've got to say, Jack Butland is, oh, that is a howler of all howlers for me. But done to Armstrong. Great follow up, striker player, and he gets his reward.
He's had a poor season, Jack Butland. You know, at one time there was talk of making him captain and what a magnificent signing he had been, but he makes more than his fair share of mistakes. And the last Motherwell game, Fir Park, he got away with one there when he punched the ball into his own net, and they disallowed the goal for a foul, which they then agreed later on was not a foul and the goal should have stood.
These are the things as an interim manager that you just can't deal with. You can't legislate for individual errors, and you know, hearing that there's a couple of them in there as well, not just Jack Butland's error. So a test for Barry Ferguson. His team fall behind again. Can they show the same character they did on Wednesday night?
Yeah, it is a big moment that, and it's Luke Armstrong who puts Motherwell in front at Ibrox. I don't think he would want this, obviously. In fact, it's more than I think. He certainly wouldn't have wanted this start, Gordon. But I guess Barry Ferguson will be somewhat comforted by the fact he knows this team's got a bit of character from the other night. Is that, you don't want to have to go back there so quickly, but that would be the mentality he'll be looking for.
Look, I think you're right, Gordon. You can't keep going, well, okay, we lost the first two goals the other night, we showed great character, Barry demands these standards. Now, I keep going back to this, right? I'm really get fed up listening about, oh, Barry will not let these standards. You think about Barry Ferguson's team talk Wednesday night. It'd be the most passionate team talk he's ever had, right? In that dressing room. They come out in 20 minutes, they're absolutely terrible, they're 2-0 down. Think about his team talk this afternoon as they're leaving that dressing room. We're at Ibrox, this is what it is to play with Rangers. He'd have gave them everything. They go a goal behind Motherwell. So sometimes, as much as you can say, well, Barry will not let this happen and Barry will not let the other thing, your players have got to take responsibility. So it's up to them to pull themselves back into this game.
The new goalkeeping coach will need to take some responsibility as well and get to work on Jack Butland, because the mistakes that he is making for a goalkeeper of good quality, the mistakes he's making are unfathomable.
That will be a funny conversation. I wonder how Al McGregor He's going to approach that.
I wouldn't have done that.
I would have put my bonnet on.
Can
that.
I be honest? I think you would have saved it.
It's terrible. I can't believe that when I seen it there. It's absolutely terrible. In fact, I don't think 49,000 Rangers supporters would believe that.
Anyway, what a big moment we've had already at Ibrox. It's Rangers 0, Motherwell 1. Luke Armstrong with the goal. Maybe doesn't look like your average footballer, would that be fair?
Oh, I'm running about Motherwell looking to be his partner. I would be successful. Me and Big Luke.
He's got the long hair, the ponytail, the beard. He's doing him, which is fine. Yeah.
You're grabbing the next available seat in the team 40. I'm telling you now. Where's Big Luke gone? Right, Gaffer, I'm in there beside him.
But he did it against Celtic.
I know. I'm only saying that because it happened to me, Ibrox. All the good looking guys, David Cooper's big DJ, Parley, and say, where's Big Beak? Where's Big Beak?
I'm trying my level best to ignore him. I go back to the Celtic game, and Luke Armstrong scored a goal. So he'd done it against Celtic and Rangers. Yeah, he doesn't look like a footballer at all. He's like somebody out of a.
That's fine. Yeah, I was worried how insulting we were going to get.
But he certainly puts himself about.
Robin Proper is down with a head knock. He's getting some treatment on that. So as usual, they don't tend to take many chances. It didn't look terrible in the initial viewing, but I suppose any head knock needs to be treated seriously. So we'll take a look and see if he can continue. That's us past the 15 minutes. So it's Motherwell that have made the fast start. We've got no goals in any of our other featured matches. We only have two in the Premiership today, of course, Ross County and Kilmarnock. And the other one is Dundee against St Johnstone.
It's interesting that if Proper, say, had to, hopefully he's not, obviously it's just a little not, has to come off Balogun going on so early. I think if Balogun was probably up to the fitness that they want, I think Balogun would have started, because Proper has been a part of that sort of a defensive, you know, mistakes. And you looked at it on Wednesday night. Yes, he took the younger player off, left Proper on because he didn't have a lot of choice. But Proper was all over the place.
Yeah, we saw lots of ropey moments in that game at Rugby Park. And very ropey at the beginning of this one as well, because Jack Butland rolls the ball out. I don't think he's to blame in that initial one. Cyril Dessers collects it. His touch is too heavy. He gives it away terribly. And then when the shot comes in, it is real bread and butter stuff for Jack Butland. But he spills it, and there is Luke Armstrong. Robin Proper is going to get bandaged up, but will continue. It's the old sort of Terry Butcher type. Maybe not quite as dramatic.
You have to see everything in the context of Thursday in Istanbul. I mean, you need reliable defenders there, that's for sure. So you don't want any additional injury problems. You've already got the problem with Clinton Insiala, insofar as he was so bad Barry Ferguson had to take him off half an hour into the game against Kilmarnock, and he's not even on the bench today. So, you know, you don't want defensive problems.
How far is it away? Have you heard how far he's away from?
He trained, didn't he, the other day? I think that was what I nearly said. I nearly said Philippe Clement. That is what Barry Ferguson said at his press conference, so he cannot be too far away. And returning to the bench, we mentioned Leon Balogun, but Dujon Sterling as well.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about him.
No, what will be interesting midweek, because I think we could all agree that league performances and the way Rangers went about their league business had to change from Philly. Come on, but European business, I just wonder how much Barry Ferguson and his coaching team follow the blueprint of what's went before.
That's not been a problem.
That's not been a problem at all to get them to this stage.
Maybe bring Philippe back for that one game.
Special advisor.
Imagine Barry Ferguson just picked up the phone.
Give me your tactical notes.
What's the secret?
I wouldn't put that by. If they get a couple more injuries, I'm expecting Goff and Brown to run out the tunnel on Thursday night.
This new Motherwell high press, if you like, a bit more of a kind of front foot off the ball, it's causing Rangers one of two problems. They've now won themselves a free kick in a good crossing position.
I like it, Gordon. Well, the reports I got on Wednesday, unfortunately, I couldn't make it up.
Why not?
I was busy doing my kitchen. The first half, they were excellent. Real good tempo, pressed very high. Obviously, with the change of tactics and everything, a little bit in the second half, near the end of the game, started tiring a bit. But I think this is the way this Motherwell manager wants to go. I quite liked, and it's okay to say, talk's cheap, right? But he says today, look, we're not going to Ibrox just to be visitors. We're going there to try and win a football game. Great start. Okay,
I think that's the interesting thing. There's one thing saying it, another thing, your player's been brave enough to carry that out. And within what we played 16, 17 minutes or something like that, it sounds like they are carrying it out.
Look at your
Rangers under pressure.
I'm just waiting on next week him bringing the stopwatch for Beat the Pundit, so that you can prove beyond all doubt that I don't give the 30 seconds. Speaking of goalkeepers, if we're talking about Jack Butland making an error, this would have been a concern there for Ross County, because Jordan Amisa was down injured. How good's he been, the Ross County keeper, since he came in? I felt sorry for him in the game against St Johnstone, because he made multiple saves, and then his defence go and really make life difficult for him. He even makes the initial save, and it's the rebound that scored. He's been brilliant. He's down injured, but I think he is going to continue as well.
I'm not surprised there have been no goals at Dingwall or in Dundee, because tension is high at both those places, and you know, mistakes can be fatal. So two very nervy occasions because of what's on the line.
I think particularly Dundee, Egon, we all know this league can do this. I mean, even up the top, you know, well publicised long winning run, then long losing run for Aberdeen, and things can change quickly. But you go back to that middle week in January, where Dundee draw with Rangers and draw with Celtic. They then, in the very next game, go and put Dundee United out of the cup, and the fans are thinking, this is great. They lose 6-0 against Hearts, then 6-0 against Celtic, and apart from a 4-0 win against Airdrie in the cup, they've lost every other game since. And it's just, what a quick fall off.
They've lost 19 goals, 19 goals in 5 league games. It's incredible. And you've gone from a manager that I think was lauded at Dens Park to, I've heard one or two saying, oh, time's up, you know, he has to go, you know, the nature of the beats, that's just the way football happens. I think that's massive today. I just think St Johnstone, I watched them last week, they've got some, he's brought in, obviously he was backed in the January window, he's changed it about, he's got his sort of own players in. He's got good options coming off the bench. Kirk obviously getting a goal last week and everything like that. So he's got a sort of strong squad now. He's lorded up there by the St Johnstone fans. They've really bought into him. He's got a momentum. That's what you could say, momentum. That's what he's got.
Diomandis had a shot from distance, easily held by Ellery Balcombe. It's just seen goals going in down the leagues as well. Have you seen? So it's Dumbarton, Nils Stenny, one Corey O'Donnell with the goal. Did you see his goal a couple of weeks ago, Corey O'Donnell?
No. Yes.
Rolled into him about, is he 40 yards out maybe? And he sort of does this nice pirouette. Defender can't get anywhere near it, and smashes it over the keeper's head from miles out. What a goal it was. But anyway, scored again.
Stenny absolutely fine. Yeah. Going for back to back. That's quite an achievement. Not many people do that. I know we've seen Awa do it, Paul Hartley with Cove, but Stenny would be something else.
What a season it would be for the local area. Imagine Stenny and Falkirk both did it. Be quite something, wouldn't it?
Falkirk, for me, are the easiest on the eye of the teams who are in for the title. I mean, to be perfectly honest.
Great timing. They've just scored. Liam Henderson has put them one up at the Ackies.
Not lightly. But they are the easiest on the eye. They're a good watch. I mean, I always praise Davey Martindale at Livingston for simply hanging in there all the time. But you get conjunctivitis watching his team.
I think that's harsh. Maybe last night, I watched them on Tuesday, night, Hugh, I think Livingston, and they were
season,
good.
See, because they're one of the bigger fish now, I think they do play a bit more.
They do, without doubt. I know, not last night, but I had that opinion without really looking into them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's unfair.
What do you
sometimes
think happened to him last night? Just your tactical genius.
And that was it. That was it. Baffled him.
Did you go? Sorry, did you say to watch Livy?
Aye, against Morton midweek.
Midweek.
3-2.
Yeah.
Late winner.
Yeah.
Is it a late winner?
Ah, but Livy were. You know, Morton started well, but
have
Livy
you had
played.
To juggle your under-18s role. How's that working?
I've had to miss the games, obviously, because last week they were away at Dingwall, so I kind of travelled there.
How did they go yesterday?
They won 2-0 yesterday.
Were you there?
He just said he had to miss the game.
I was at the first team game, the kickoff.
Hold on.
Where were you yesterday morning about 7:30, 8:00?
In the gym.
Sitting having a coffee with who?
You.
Right. Told me, I've got a full day. I have to go to Capello. Right. I have to go to the game, the under 18s. You just said you didn't go.
Scotland against England under 18s. One of our players was playing for Scotland, so it did go.
Okay. I thought it was
the Thistle under 18 game kicked off at 6 p.m.
Oh, apologies.
I'm still balancing. Okay. I'm still doing the training at night.
And so, is Brian still balancing the women's team?
He is. He's trying his best to. Yeah.
They play tomorrow.
Yeah, right, Queen's Park tomorrow.
A bit easier. Oh, nice break up the park for Motherwell. They've worked it into the box and then Slattery, but he hits the side netting on the angle. He's got a bit to go to catch James Tavernier, but it's a landmark day for Callum Slattery. It's his 100th rather than five, but really good achievement for him, who's had a torrid time with injury, a full year out, remember. Jeff Day was kind of caught under the initial ball, which really frustrated Barry Ferguson. Do you know what I've noticed? Look, every manager's got their different styles. It's not one's right and one's wrong. He's extremely animated on the touchline, isn't he?
Yeah.
Barry Ferguson.
Oh, Barry. Yeah, he's just, he's got passion in it. He knows how much it means to the supporters. He was that sort of a player. He had that sort of thing about him. He's just trying to get that energy from the touchline because, you know, Clement sometimes come in for a bit of criticism. They're, fans, for some reason, think that the more animated you are, it means you care more. Yeah. It doesn't. Just styles of management, that's all it is.
It might have been Tom Sparrow who had the final shot for Motherwell, but either way, it hit the side netting. Cherney's then had a shot from distance that goes over the bar. So let's, I feel like I had one more question on the Partick Thistle theme. Oh no, that was it. So it was, what was it, Scotland Schoolboys?
Aye.
And they battered England, didn't they?
Well, I left when it was 3. I left at half time to get back up to the game, but they were good. So we had our young right back, Liam Rooney, playing for it. So it was good. Aye, played well. But it was boy from Morton who'd scored a first half hat trick up front.
Did he get four? I think he got four, yeah, I'm sure I saw that. So,
yeah, it was good.
What an achievement that is.
I'll just remind you of that question.
Yeah,
first half teaser.
Can,
in their last six meetings with Motherwell, seven different players have scored for Rangers. Can you name them? Last half dozen meetings with Motherwell, seven different Rangers players have scored against them. Who were they?
Quite a straightforward question that. I think we need to get up earlier to beat you lot because I think some of you will be all over it, so get your guesses in there at Clyde SSB. I can see very few people straying too far away, to be honest. What we got there, Charlie Bear thinks that Robin Proper might be one of them.
No, he's not.
Okay, you might have to reassess and try and get the rest of them. So at Clyde SSB, the race is on. Let's see if we can get the podium filled with all the correct answers. We've only got one goal. Dessers wasn't expecting a cross there from Jeff Day. I don't really know what's gone on. It ends up hitting him on the shoulder. And this is, well, it's Cyril Dessers in a nutshell. Gordon DL, how he takes his goals brilliantly the other night. And he's still plenty of time. You wouldn't bet against him scoring today. But if Jack Butland is the main culprit for the Motherwell goal, second in line for the blame will be Cyril Dessers.
Yeah, that's the tag he gets. I've got to say, he's in the right positions for me. I'm a massive fan of his.
You do love him.
Yeah, I do. Ever since he paid for the haircuts, he's just went up my estimations. I like that. But he's a goal scorer. See the other night there, that finish, although you've got to criticise Kamarnock's defence, I think it was Yilmaz, played the long ball over the top. He takes that brilliantly. That's a striker with confidence and form. Look, does he miss chances? Yes. But I would much rather see my striker missing chances than looking up and going, he's not had one sniff at goal this afternoon. Dessers can score goals. He scored them last season and he's up there this season as well. What has he got, about 18, round about that? So, and we're still 1st of March.
Who else can they rely on, really, to score goals? Cherney's chipped in.
Well, all of a sudden,
decent.
All of a sudden, Igermani has now gone, I think, 7 games without scoring. If he fails to score today, 8.
He's dropped off a little bit, isn't he?
That's more than a little bit, I think.
Yeah, he's playing slightly different though, is he? He's playing a bit deeper, Igerman, just to accommodate Dessers on the side.
Even his overall play for me.
He's already at 8.
Right, so today would be 9 then?
Today would be 9. But there is still plenty of time for all of these players to score because the game is still in the first half, very much so about, we're approaching the later stages of the first half hour, and it is Motherwell who lead. That Luke Armstrong goal to nil. There's a big goal in the Championship which might concern Mark Wilson. Raith Rovers nil, Queen's Park 1. Zach Rudden with the goal there for the Spiders. Speaking of which, did you see Leon King has gone on loan?
Yes.
To the Spiders.
From Rangers to Queen's Park. How obvious is it that he needed to go somewhere and play?
100%. I feel for him because it didn't matter. He came on against Hibs, didn't he, at centre back? Then he played in the European game. He was played right back because Tavernier we played in. I think he lasted, what, 15 minutes, got an injury, the lad, unfortunate for him. But he must be delighted with that. You get in there every day, you train, you know at the end of the day, there's no reward for it. You're not going to play, you're probably not going to come on. Whereas he's going to Queen's Park, good manager, championship, he'll play most weeks. I think that's a great move for him.
I wonder how that's taking so long. You know, because the management team, I can only suspect that the management team wanted to keep him around, and more often than not, he didn't feature on the bench, he didn't feature at all.
We've got another goal at Ibrox. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Rangers 0, Motherwell 2, and it is Tom Sparrow for the second game in succession under Barry Ferguson. Rangers go 2-0 down, this time at Ibrox. The Steelmen are flying. The Rangers crowd turned up with a big expectancy today. James Tavernier on his 500th appearance. He gives the ball away, but Motherwell still have work to do. Work it to the right. So much space for Tom Sparrow, and it is a goal. Rangers 0, Motherwell 2.
If you were a Sparrow, you would be flying when you think about it. But that is shocking for Barry Ferguson. And I wonder, we'll get to Andrew McLean at half time to find out what the mood is like inside that ground, because you would find it unbelievable that in three successive home games, Rangers could go out of the Scottish Cup to Queen's Park, the most humiliating result in their history, then play St Mirren and lose 2-0, causing the manager to lose his job 24 hours later. And surely there couldn't be a third in a row where Rangers lose the first home game under Barry Ferguson's control. But Motherwell are two up and they missed a chance earlier. They ought to be three up.
Yeah, I told you, it's a different kettle of fish when you go to Ibrox and they're 49,000 there screaming at you, demanding that you produce the goods, and they haven't been doing that. We all talk about character. I'll tell you what, they'll need some character now, because as much as you can look at Barry Ferguson, he can't come on the park and do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. Look, they showed the other night there that they did produce that. You just wonder, will he make a substitution?
I think, Mark, what will really frustrate as well, but credit Motherwell first, because they take advantage and it's a really good finish. Tom Sparrow's got work to do. It's a nice slow finish into the bottom corner. We won't blame Jack Butland for this one. But Rangers midfield is non-existent there. Not to exaggerate it, Motherwell get the ball and they're just on to Rangers' back four. And then the back four is so narrow that Tom Sparrow's able to just stroll into the box and put it in the bottom corner.
Credit to Motherwell for finding the spaces and, you know, picking the pass and the right time of pass and the run from Sparrow, and it's a decent finish. But you're right, it'd be alarming if you were a Rangers fan taking that in. Very passive as well from a back four. So that's a big concern for Rangers. But new Motherwell manager, I think you can see the style of play right away, you know, more controlled and building up, promoting bodies forward at the right times and getting their rewards within half an hour.
Well, they said it'd be a new manager's bounce.
Well,
unfortunately for the Rangers fans, they're looking at the wrong dugout.
I said to you before the game started, goodwill can easily become ill will in football, and I think you have to be alarmed by the fact that Rangers can be opened up as easily as Kilmarnock did and Motherwell are doing at the moment. But can they get to half time? Because when Vaslav Cherny scored at Rugby Park, you knew.
Changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, you knew that there was only going to be one winner after that. So Motherwell need to get in to the dressing room two up.
I think there's a difference here, Hugh, and I'll tell you what I think the difference is. I think that Kilmarnock retreated at 2-0.
Yeah.
I don't think Motherwell will do that. I think
Mark's hits the side netting, one of those where some fans think it's in and then get the quick let down, but we do have a goal elsewhere. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Whichever side took the lead in Dingwall, it was going to be a big moment, and it has gone to the hosts. It is a goal for Ross County. Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0. Ball ended up fired high into the net. The Staggies absolutely delighted with that. Derek McInnes, he's been through the emotional ringer this week. He was 2-0 up, of course, against Rangers, then lost the game. He's now gone up there to Dingwall and finds his side one behind. Remember, those teams are so close in the league. The six-pointer, there's been a quick check on it and goal given there as well. And it looks like Kieran Phillips has been credited with it. So Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0.
They're in trouble here.
Yeah, they are.
They are in trouble. I watched him the other night, got off to a great start. They punished Rangers. They played very direct. And then they totally, you know, they backed off. They contributed nothing in the second half to the game. They're falling like a stone as well. They're lucky that Dundee aren't in great form. They're lucky that, you know, it's so tight that a couple of wins gets them out of it. They need a big turnaround up there. But once again, I'll say it, what Ross County turns up week in, week out, must be great to support them. You never know what you're getting.
Lots of groans inside Ibrox, Hugh.
Yeah.
The party atmosphere is gone after 30 minutes.
Goodwill, ill will. And that's why Rangers have to score before half-time. They have to give the fans some sense of a resurgence. Because a home defeat for Barry Ferguson in his first game, the word optics comes to mind. Not a good look.
However, there is a VAR check for a possible red card for violent conduct. But no, now play is waived on. So who knows?
Was that against Motherwell?
Not entirely sure. I think it would be one of those. I think there was an incident where Diomandi was like bundled into the back off the ball. But even at the time, the referee just played on, and I don't even think anyone complained. So
VAR,
it's over quite quickly.
VAR needs a good day. It's had a bad week, and it needs a good day today. Because you had two goals wrongly disallowed, affecting the outcome of matches. So VAR needs to be good today. It needs to be a good boy.
Airdrie nil, George Stanger with the goal.
Adrian was starting to show a little bit of signs of improvement. Yeah. I stung to Mark, obviously I'm right up to the championship.
He loves the championship.
I'm loving
now.
The championship banter in the office. And he fancied Airdrie to make a little bit of a...
Are you sure it's not just that it's easier to get a result against Thistle than it is against there?
That could be a could point, be. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I've been trying to be really positive about it.
I know. You could be right.
But anyway, it is there too, Airdrie 0. At Somerset Park. What an emotional roller coaster you must be on, Gordon Dale, for the championship. Because you're, do you want your pal Mark Wilson to succeed? Probably not. You don't strike me as the type. You wouldn't want your old team Ayr going up and outdoing what you did.
Correct.
There as manager.
Yeah.
So really, from your own selfish perspective,
I hope Morton do well. I've no ties whatsoever
with
Morton. No. I've got to be honest and put my hand up. Yes, I would love Mark to fail miserably.
I did it. By the way, I did the pre-match lounges. Yesterday I had to go and
pre-match lounges.
Yeah, so you have to go over and, you know, say your wee piece and
fans asking
oh,
for
by the way, they did not like you.
Did they not? The Thistle fans.
No.
I love the Thistle fans.
I said you might be coming tonight. They were going to get you if they seen you.
Goodbye. I love the Jags, but no, I'll tell you what. This man's impressed me. He's doing brilliantly. Needs a victory, right enough. Or he'll be holidaying with Clement.
What a hypocrite you are.
No. I do you know what? I think for football, I think Falkirk, in my opinion, are the best footballing side in the league. I love Davy Martindale, right? I didn't like him didn't like his style of football last night. Thought they were shocking the way they played first half. But I love the guy. I think he's brilliant. I think he's a great character. And you always want to see your old club, Ayr United, failing.
Honestly,
I'll not be invited back. I would say that I wasn't invited back to the 100th.
Morton won up in Dunfermline, which is, you know, Dunfermline, you talk about, you and I remember Dunfermline as a truly big club dazzler.
Yeah.
And they're in danger of dropping into the third tier of Scottish football.
Ayr Lacombe and Hosed already 3-0 up now against Airdrie. Curtis Main, is that one of his first goals? He's not scored many, has he?
No.
Since he went there, Curtis Main, I think there would be a real hope that he could have torn up the championship, so to speak, but he's not found it easy. George Oakley's been in great form, and it's his first goal since moving to Ayr.
It's a lad Tizzler, isn't it? Am I right in saying that?
Tizzler?
What's his name?
Tizzer.
Oh, my God. Tizzer. Sorry. Yeah. He's finding it difficult. He's having a tough time there. I've got to be honest.
But to be fair, that he got the job because they were having a tough time, isn't it? You know, it's
hard
to go and turn
around. But he wasn't pulling up trees at Kelly, was he? And his first job, and he's went into it. And Hugh quite rightly says, look, you've no right to say you're a big, you've got to earn the right now. But in our day, the fans were massive.
Yeah.
You know, I remember playing their full houses, 15,000, whatever it may be.
European competition.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he's went into a big club with big, high expectations. I feel for a lad, right? I think this has been too quick for him. He may turn it around, but I think it's been too early.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
We said in the games out with Ibrox, the goals were going to be massive. They're both nervy occasions. They're both fraught. And I can tell you, it's Dundee 0, St Johnstone 1. It is a huge goal. And it's that man again. It is Mackenzie Kirk. He's been a real, real find for St Johnstone this season. He's been excellent in recent weeks and months. And he has scored again.
If the scoreline turns into the result, it's officially crisis time at Dundee. You can't lose 6 matches on the bounce, dropping down like a stone, and you will literally be bottom of the pile if the scoreline becomes the result there. So it is critical now for Tony Docherty that he finds an equaliser, if not better than that, a winner.
That's him up to 9 for the season. He obviously got the winner during the week, Mark, St Johnstone against Ross County as well. And yeah, he's been good.
Oh, really good. I mean, I wondered when he came in if it was the old, you know, father-son relationship, if it was given on merit, or, you know, he was bumped up the queue. Definitely been given on merit. And he's a guy that's got St Johnstone going when they needed it most. So a real threat. And yeah, Tony Docherty find it difficult.
I said momentum, and St Johnstone have got that in abundance just now. There's just something I've got. Look, I'm doubling down here. When I seen him coming in at first, I'm thinking, oh, guaranteed relegation. They've no chance whatsoever. He's got some players in. He's changed one or two things about. He's got a great belief. He's getting carried about the King James's pub when they win. The fans are buying into him. I'm delighted for this guy. I think he's a fresh breath of fresh air. A breath of fresh air to the game.
Do you know what? Momentum goes in two different directions. It goes good to better, or it goes bad to worse. And St Johnstone are good to better, and Dundee are bad to worse. And that's why the scoreline is the way it is at the moment. But Tony Docherty, he cannot walk off that touchline not having won a point today. 6 defeats in a row, crisis.
Could you ever imagine that you could look at Scottish football and Tony Dock or Derek get relegated, neither one was in the playoff, and they've worked together for so long? But that's where we are just now, because right now, out of those three teams, right, and I know Ross County are still in thereabouts, but out of the three teams, St Johnstone are the informed team. You would bet on them.
Well, a lot can change today, and then a lot can change in the coming weeks as well. So we'll wait and see.
Shall we get rid of this?
Yeah, why not? Let's round off this teaser. I think Jeffy's going to get an absolute ear bashing from Barry Ferguson at half time. He's that. I was going to say you'll have been there, Mark. It wasn't meant to be critical. I know we often are of you, but
well, see, thanks.
It's the worst position to play
because he's standing right next to the manager.
He's having one, and he's standing right in front of Barry Ferguson.
Yeah.
Before we do it, Hugh.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Are you all keeping Dundee up now that they've equalised? It's Simon Murray. It's a long throw in from the left. He turns it home from close range. Probably pulls out the angry man celebration as well.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, level, game on, big game as well. So Dundee 1, St Johnstone 1. Great time to equalise. Right, Hugh, let's do this.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
In their last 6 meetings with Motherwell, 7 different players have scored for Rangers. They are Hamza Egerman, Cyril Dessers, Nadim Bahrami, Vaslav Cherny, James Tavernier, Kieran Dowell, and, remember him, Todd Cantwell.
Whatever happened to him. Well done if you got it right, and lots of you did. I think it was quite simple, quite Googleable as well. But I know you wouldn't do that because you're all upstanding members of the cyber community. Sean Grantham was in third place. Well done to you, Sean. Aaron Foster in second. And Blair Maitland is the winner, the gold medalist, first prize. Well done to you, Blair. You have the bragging rights. You can tell everybody all about it, whatever it is you're up to this evening. That does mean we're approaching half time. 3 minutes added for Dave Galloway up there at Ross County. It usually takes about 45 minutes for his wimpy to
digest
just in time for him to do his half-time report, which I'm looking forward to hearing. Ross County in the lead, Dundee and St Johnstone won all, but the biggest story of them all in the making is Rangers with Barry Ferguson and the hype and back at Ibrox, 0 Motherwell 2 as we approach the break. So we'll see what the reaction is like. I don't think the Rangers fans would boo Barry Ferguson as such, but this has been, well, listen, I'll let Andrew McLean tell you about it, but from what we can gather, a properly bad Rangers performance, this. Really, genuinely, fairly awful. So we'll see what the reaction is like at the break.
Now, I mean, Barry Ferguson, as I said, a week ago was working the lounges at Ibrox and writing a column for a newspaper. Now he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders because it's Ibrox.
Diomande shot pushed over the bar by Balcom.
And he cannot afford to lose his first game as Rangers manager at Ibrox. You know, the scenario last weekend, Celtic lost. Rangers should and ought to have won, but they were awful. Now the scenario is that, as things stand at the moment, Celtic's 13-point lead at the top could turn into 16 points if Rangers slip up, and Celtic then go a few miles along the road in Paisley and beat St Mirren. 16 points ahead. That is the possibility for Celtic.
Half time at Dens Park, Dundee against St Johnstone, a big game, and the first half of it was watched by Gabriel.
Yeah, Gordon, what an end to the half there after such a tight and nervy opening few minutes. It was Mackenzie Kirk who scored 5 minutes before the interval to give the Saints a deserved lead, but Simon Murray, as usual, was there to turn it home just before the break to level things up for Tony Doherty's side. I mean, the game started evenly. Clearly so much on the line between the sides in 11th and 12th in the table. But after 10 minutes, it became clear who was the form side playing with confidence. The Saints looking more dangerous with their fast breaks, led by Adama Sidibe and the two wingers. The front three looking sharp. And they did break the deadlock. There was a great ball in from the right. Sam Curtis putting it right on Kirk's head, and a lovely header from Kirk over the goalkeeper into the far corner. And it looked like a huge goal in the fight for survival. Looked like Simo Valakari's men were going to be taking the initiative into the half, but no, a long throw was giving Dundee a lifeline. It came in from the left, and there was Murray to turn it home from close range. The Saints just couldn't clear the ball. So, what a big 45 minutes are coming up, Gordon, in the fight against relegation. In this fixture, the home team has only won one of the last seven meetings. Will we see that again? Huge 45 coming up. It's Dundee 1, St Johnstone 1.
Oh, that is a big second 45 for sure. I probably say that every week, but once we get to this stage of the season, you mean it a lot, because a lot can change in that table in the second 45. Do we have a half-time whistle yet from Dave Galloway? We do, but I'll go back there in a second. I think he's having some trouble connecting to us, so we'll speak to him right on the stroke of half-time. Charlie Mulgrew's Kelty. In fact, it's 95 plus 4 there, and they've taken lead down there at Queen of the South. Scott Allen was in last night telling us all about it. We're just waiting then on Ibrox. If Rangers could score just before the break, that would change everything. It would put such a different complexion on things. But as things stand currently, they trail Motherwell by 2-0, and it's not even an undeserved scoreline, you would have to say. I don't think even the most positive Rangers fans would argue with that. They have 5 additional minutes at the end of the first half to try and pull something back, and we all know about these momentum shifts and so on. So Hugh, if they could, It would make some difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It would change the whole complexion of the afternoon, and you would think that it would favour Rangers in terms of who actually wins by the end of the 90 minutes. But by all accounts, and we wait for Gabriel's report, but by all accounts, Rangers have had yet another poor day at Ibrox, and Motherwell have deservedly taken a 2-goal lead, and it ought to have been 3 because they missed a pinch in between goals 1 and 2. So They have the time added on. They have to make it work to their advantage.
I suppose Motherwell don't have to look too far, Gordon, for evidence of this. Now, I know it's very different when you go to Ibrox compared to when you've got home comforts, but you remember the thriller when they played Rangers and they were 2-0 up as well, weren't they, inside 35 minutes? In fact, 2-0 up at half time, and they drew that game to each.
What concerns me, if you're a Motherwell fan, I touched on it the other night there, they tired later in the game. They're doing a lot of running, they're doing a lot of covering. Rangers, if they get back into the game, you would think, oh, all of a sudden Motherwell under pressure. They've got to make sure they keep it tight and don't give Rangers any encouragement at all. Get to half time.
We sometimes act, Mark, like it's easy. See, if it was easy to go to Ibrox as an example, get in Rangers' face the full time, press everywhere, cause damage at one end, keep it tight at the other. Everyone would do that. Do you know what I mean? It's not like people choose to not. So Gordon makes a fair point. Can Motherwell keep the intensity up?
It's just picking your times when to do it, I guess. You know, they've done it very well in the first period, pressed well. Hard to keep up for the full 90.
Let's go quickly to Dave Galloway. We'll squeeze him in before half time at Ibrox.
Yeah, Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0 at the interval. Gordon, Killy were at it from the start, enjoying plenty possession as they went on the attack, but the final ball was lacking. Lyons overhead, kick flew over. Dees had a shot charged down. Took a good double save from Amisa, though, to keep the visitors out. Twice parrying shots from Watkins after a long ball upfield sent him through. County started to see a bit more of the ball, but without seriously threatening. However, they took the lead after 35 minutes. Phillips finishing high into the net from very close range after finding White, whose shot went under O'Hara. Phillips was on hand just to make sure. That made the hosts look more menacing as Killy were made to regret not cashing in on their dominant start. Plenty to play for at the interval. Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0.
A big game there as well. Still waiting at Ibrox, Hugh.
Yeah, it's important that we wait and find out, because this is crucial. If Rangers go in 2 down, Ibrox is an unhappy place.
Well, they have a final chance from a free kick. Kofi Balmer's been booked for a foul on Jeffrey down the left, so they're going to be in a crossing position, if you like, put a ball into the box and try and score. They had some set piece routines, which I know caused some debate during the week, whether it was over the top physically or not, but the goal stood, and they would look to try and replicate something like that. But no, half time, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, boos ringing around some of Ibrox after that first half, because it's Rangers 0, Motherwell 2. Barry Ferguson finds his side 2 goals down for the second time in a matter of days, and the scoreline for Motherwell is deserved, because Rangers have been poor defensively. They've lacked anything going forward, continually giving the ball away, and up against the Motherwell side who have been impressive under Michael Vimmer. The first goal came 10 minutes in. Jack Butland rolling the ball out to Dessers. He took a poor touch, gave the ball to Motherwell, passed straight to Dan Casey at the edge of the box. His shot should have been caught easily by Jack Butland, but he spilled it into a really dangerous area, and Luke Armstrong beat him to the ball to find the back of the net. The flag went up for offside. That was against Dan Casey in the build-up, but VAR showing that he was onside and the goal stood. But Rangers have been reduced to shots from distance. As I say, a real lack of creativity. They just can't hold on to the ball whatsoever. They're either giving it away in the midfield, or so many passes are just weighted so badly and going out of play and missing teammates. Barry Ferguson really, really frustrated on the sidelines, and no wonder given this performance. After that, Motherwell had a couple of chances on the break to extend that lead. Tom Sparrow hitting the side netting, but when he got his second chance, he did much, much better. James Tavernier, it's his 500th Rangers game today. He didn't cover himself in glory for this goal. He gave the ball away to Lennon Miller. The ball worked out to the right for Tom Sparrow. He had so much space. The Rangers defence was so compact. Jeffrey had been pulled inside, and it meant Tom Sparrow had all the time in the world to take a touch, get into the box and find the bottom corner for 2-0. The supporters are not happy with what they've seen at Ibrox today. A big team talk and big decisions to be made for Barry Ferguson and his backroom staff. The half-time score at Ibrox is Rangers 0, Motherwell 2.